Welcome to Thinking Ahead, your leading edge insights podcast. Each episode reveals the latest insights on today's consumers and offers a sneak peek of tomorrow's marketplace. Stop guessing what's next and start thinking ahead. Welcome back to another episode of Thinking Ahead, your leading edge insights podcast. In today's episode, we are continuing our discussion with Stacey Barrick and Eric Wagatha on the 2024 Consumer Outlook. We'll take a look at technology and Gen Alpha. You don't want to miss this. Keep listening. So moving on, let's talk about the tech saga. You know, it's along with sustainability, technology is also a key area that we'll continue to look at in the year ahead. So where do consumers currently stand when it comes to technology?
Yeah, right. And a really, really good question. You know, several years ago, my answer would have been said, well, it's always, you know, positive and forward and win-win and more and more and more. And clearly, the past number of years, and again, they'll go back to the pandemic, our attitudes and behaviors to technologies have shifted. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about that. And really, I want to go back to really 2020, because leading up to the pandemic, it was, again, this idea of win-win, more technology, the better, you know, smart homes, everything integrated. I want it all. Prices were coming down and affordability. And then the pandemic hits and we start working from home. And in a lot of cases, and our data would show at GFK, you know, home technology sales went up, TVs, computers, laptops, all of those things. So we were building our home offices and becoming more prepared for, a virtual stay. So we really had a very close, if you will, and intimate heart to heart with our technologies in our home, if you will, because that was really what we were interacting with for quite an amount of time. We came out of the pandemic. And there was sort of a run to the outdoors. You know, we kind of divested a little bit from technology. We wanted to travel again. We wanted to have real world expenses. So in some ways, technology took a little bit of a back seat. And as we head from, you know, the 21, 22 into 23, you know, last year, as we all saw with ChatGPT, it all became about AI and, you know, the pros and cons of where AI is going. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride in terms of technology with consumers for the past number of years. And as a result of that, there's some sort of pros and cons and, you know, kind of indicators of where we're going that I really want to talk about. First, what I do want to say is that overwhelmingly, people do feel optimistic about the effects of technology on our society. In fact, we ask a very specific question on that in the US, and it's at the top. It's absolutely at the top, certainly more so than things than even like the institution of marriage, you know, belief in our politicians and so on and so forth. So the long tail story is yes, it's a good thing for folks. Yet we're seeing that those metrics are actually still tailing downwards. Not as a good thing as it was perhaps 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. And so when we look into that a little more deeply, we realize it's not necessarily about the device itself or the benefit or the feature. It's really more about some of these socialized discourses and outcomes that we've been seeing. So when we ask consumers, what are your tech concerns that you have, you hear things like information theft, right? Data privacy, because everything lives in the cloud today. We know, especially from youth, the idea of cyberbullying through social media, right? And on smartphones that are pervasive and right next to us. So these are issues that aren't necessarily about the tech itself, but how it's potentially being used by human beings. In fact, our Generation Z today, for them, that generation of users who are under 25 years old today, the number one concern they have resulting from technology is over mental health. So, you know, you're talking about hardware and software, but with humans, you're talking about, you know, neurons and synapses. So it's a really different place than we were in terms of attitudes, towards technology than we've been in the past decades. And brands need to be conscious about that. You know, as much as they're innovating for the next best widget and feature and, you know, connectivity, they need to really almost start innovating for what is that outcome with consumer mindsets and how they're reacting to it.
A lot of this technology, though, feels impossible to live without, even, you know, besides the concerns that you mentioned. You know, are consumers worried about embracing certain tech that's out there?
Yeah, and that goes back to what I said earlier on. You know, there still is that overwhelming positive effect, right? It is a wonderful tool for us that facilitates so much. So there are certainly technologies that are entrenched and they're appreciated, and these are really pervasive around the world. Number one, right, are mobile phones. And on that mobile phone, it's around connecting, you know, socially. It's around shopping and transacting. It's around mobile payments. I mean, these are things that you can go to pretty much any market, developed or developing markets, and these things resonate with vehicles. So at the fundamental, you know, level, the tool aspects, the facilitation of transactions, of automating or providing levels of accessibility are critical. We still are now, part of our newer evolution is around the concept of the hybrid worker, right? Obviously, yes, certain folks are going back to work and being encouraged going back to work, but we are seeing, you know, out of the pandemic, a certain percentage in any population of the workforce will stay in a hybrid work environment. So there is obviously a positive application of technology there, making sure it works seamlessly and connectivity and it's secure. So that's another thing that we're seeing that's certainly entrenched. And finally, you know, smart TVs. It's interesting because several years ago, there was the rage around 3D, you know, 3D TVs. That sort of has faded. But the smart TV, that connected TV, especially in a world of a streaming services and such, you do have these applications that are well embraced and are above sort of these more social issues that we're having around you know, mental health or privacy or those kinds of things. So absolutely, there are the winners and the staples of technology. There are a few that we do see emerging, and I think these are ones that again, brands, whether they're directly involved in these sectors or adjacent, should pay attention. The concept of the mobile wallet, which is basically, you know, think about your wallet and what you keep, the cards you keep in your wallet now, you know, being housed digitally. I'd argue, look, this is much more evolved already in markets like China, where, you know, the idea of being, you know, cashless has been, you know, promoted by the government for quite some time now. And so the idea of having your credit cards, your ID cards, you know, whatever, your travel passes, those kinds of things on your wallet in one digital space is gaining in applicability and acceptance, particularly with younger generations where, you know, they, in a way, maybe they've gotten over some of the privacy issues, right? Obviously, we're seeing with consumers, and we have data to suggest that people are more commonly leaving their home with their phone rather than their wallet or their car keys. So part of this is a cultural movement forward where the phone perceptually gains more acceptance as this wallet. So especially, again, you don't necessarily need to be in the banking sector, but if you want to be part of the consumer wherever they are, how can you get into their digital wallet? Social shopping is the second sort of pillar that we see evolve. So that would suggest shopping through social media channels, right? Whether brands are directly there or linked to, rather than having to go to a corporate site or a selling site, it's done through social media. This, again, much more popular in Asia right now, certainly growing in the US as sort of new generations come online and the platforms themselves develop more cleaner and simpler approaches to selling. I think TikTok just last September quietly launched that capability on their platform. So I would expect, particularly with, let's call them Gen Zs and generations moving forward after that social shopping will be, again, a short-changed way of getting to curated products by influential individuals. What's wrong with that, right? Again, as long as we have this level of privacy that and ID safety that consumers expect. And finally, from a device point of view, smartwatches is certainly one that has had sort of fits and starts. There's sort of this sort of ongoing battle between smartwatches and our sort of our health bands that we've been having. And it seems like right now the smartwatches may be slowly winning that argument again as they become more, you know, kind of functionally deep and affordable, frankly. An interesting twist on smartwatches, which we thought was a really interesting insight. You know, we have millennial parents right now, which is a very, you know, very modern, very tech savvy generation. They are in the you know, having children right now. They're in the family stage with young children. And, you know, a lot of the social discourse is at what age should a child have a smartphone? And there's not a straight answer to that one, but one way around that is to give the child a smartwatch. And there's really two reasons why. One is obvious, right? We still want to helicopter our children. We want to know where they are. We want to be able to track them. There is certainly a safety reason why you want them to have a digital device. But the phone versus the watch is a smaller device. It's on the wrist. It does not garner necessarily the attention that, you know, an 8-inch screen phone would have. And so it's a way for millennial parents to, in some way, start gatekeeping against, you know, this device or internet addiction that we talk about. So just a really interesting nuance, but I definitely expect smartwatches to see certainly a bump across various regions and demographic groups.
Earlier in the episode, you know, Stacey talked about how brands can, you know, foster security and make their consumers feel safe. How can brands go about doing that, especially when it comes to technology?
Yeah, there are definitely, you know, some challenges and some headwinds moving forward. You know, it's easy to say our product is smart, but what does that mean? So there is certainly a danger of the messaging, you know, sort of being diluted and really unique products and innovations that are really forward leaning, you know, not getting the say. So part of this is a clarity of communication, just like I said earlier on with sustainability. And I think even, you know, to Stacey's point, right at the beginning, getting back to basics. Well, one of that is clear and transparent communications. But from a technology point of view, you are going to certainly see two really key areas. One is smarter sustainability, you know, kind of tying back to our sustainability discussion. Consumers are wanting more. They're wanting more innovation in that particular case. So when you think of things like appliances, you know, makes sense, right? They use gas, they use electricity, they use water. So how do we provide more real-time feedback on that and metrics, or even some sort of a monetization on those efforts? I just saw an example from Lenovo, a keyboard they have, which is regenerative energy. So, you know, we don't necessarily think of our keyboards taking up a lot of electricity, but even in something as, you know, as simple as the keyboard, is there a way to innovate that it in itself, like vehicles, and, you know, I think the EV vehicles that regenerate electricity from the brakes, you can actually do it from a clicking behavior on your keyboard. So I think these are small but extremely significant opportunities that say, hey, we're innovating, we're playing to this theme of evolving sustainability, and we're differentiating ourselves from our competition. So I think that's really clever. And then finally, and this is where the AI narrative is going to come into play, moving from smart, you know, to intuitive and more intelligent. So it's great that, you know, smart features can turn things on and off at certain times, listen to our voices. But when it really starts to understand our patterns and starts making proactive suggestions on how do we improve efficiency or, again, provide more ease or convenience to us, I think that's where we start seeing the positive benefits of AI that are demonstrable to counteract, you know, maybe some of the kind of the concerns that that we see happening right now with where we're going with AI and some of the points, you know, Stacey made earlier on at the beginning, which are maybe some of the malicious potential uses of AI that are already being sort of touted, you know, today.
I will say, you know, there's a lot of information and data around consumers, their relationship with technology, and we do a huge deep dive on this with Veronica Chen from the Consumer Life team. We talked about the Living with Tech report, and you guys need to check that out if you haven't already. But thank you for that, Eric. I do want to shift gears a little bit and talk about our newest generation, which is Gen Alpha. And so, Stacey, I'm going to bring you back in here so we can start talking about this. You know, Consumer Life has expanded its generational portfolio. We've looked at millennials, we looked at all these other different generations and talked about the different topics through their lens. But now we are talking about Gen Alpha. So why did you decide to start doing that? Now's the time. How do brands need to start thinking about Gen Alpha?
Sure, there are lots of reasons why we decided to do it now. I think one of the advantages of having a consumer trend service that stretches back over 50 years is that we really have looked at generations over many, many, many years, and we've become really good at looking at that pivotal point when marketers need to start paying attention to the next generation. And there are many factors that go into why a generation suddenly has an impact. One may be that they grew up in a certain kind of circumstances that has offered them an ability to influence things that may have not existed before them. Another is really related to their parents, how permissive their parents might be in terms of giving them some say. And the other is really just sheer size and shape of the generation. And so this is a generation that is primarily one that has millennial parents. Eric sort of alluded already to some of the things that millennial parents are doing in their parenting in the technology realm, you know, with the smartwatch and other ways of really teaching their children about technology. So it's really interesting to look at how, having grown up in the time of COVID and lockdowns in a fully digital world, with parents that have all of the characteristics of a very unique and large generation like the millennials, and sort of coming right behind Gen Z, which has itself started to reinvent everything from work-life balance to their expectations of the world to their own sense of identity and what identity really means. You know, Gen Alpha is really coming of age and starting to exert itself. And so you think about the size that this generation will be. You know, the millennials are a huge generation and these are their children. And you think of how we've been saying for a couple of decades now about, you know, this is the most diverse generation the U.S. has ever seen. And then you say it again about the next generation. This is the most diverse. Well, guess what? You know, there's Gen Alpha, and they make Gen Z look, you know, homogeneous because they are so diverse. And so at what point do you stop talking about diversity and you start just talking about this is what people are, you know, and we're almost at that point where there is such diversity that it's just normal. This is what it is. We have people from many, many ethnicities. You know, the great melting pot that we were is really, you know, magnified in the newest generations. So in terms of other reasons why focus now, you know, what's unique about them, I alluded to, you know, parenting and parenting styles, and the millennials are very different in their parenting styles than those parents who have come before them. Even though every generation, as they grow and mature, start to be a little bit more, you know, the do as I say, not as I did, the millennials have a somewhat parenting style. And so when you ask them, are they going to be, you know, parents that tell their kids what to do? Or are they going to be parents who really make a more democratic decision in the household? We have found that, you know, many of them are going to that democratic in the household. So alphas are still very young. You know, they're just getting into their double digits in terms of where that generation is defined. Yet they have an oversized influence in their household because of who their parents are. So their parents are letting them make decisions on, you know, things you would expect that kids might make decisions on, like toys or maybe how they want to spend their free time. But they're really also moving into areas where you might not think kids were, you know, normally influencing the decision making in the homes. And so it's very interesting to watch how that's going to evolve as alphas, you know, enter their teenage years and end up having a lot more opinions than they have at this current time frame. So, you know, if you are a marketer and you are, you know, of course, paying attention to Gen Z, because those are, you know, consumers in the prime of their lives of the young 20s and trying to influence the world, it's really also time to, you know, share your attention and understanding how to prepare for the next generation.
So with all that being said and talking about the digital lifestyle, should brands bet on the fact that Gen Alpha will be very tech immersed?
You know, that's very interesting because, you know, there would be a lot of expectations that a generation that came of age in their very, very young years in lockdown, you know, with technology everywhere, will be one that is so technology oriented. And while they will be literate for sure in technology, and it will be absolutely taken for granted in their lives, you know, everything that Eric just talked about related to technology and some of the disillusionment of technology and the right and wrong places where people are using technology is all baked in there. And I think it's also interesting how they're spending their free time. So this is not a generation that is only in front of their screens. They're really spending a very balanced amount of time out in the physical world as well as in the virtual world. And I think their parents are really, you know, focusing on making sure that happens. And the same is true of keeping them from engaging in solitary things as opposed to things that they do in a more collaborative basis. So yes, are they going to be more digitally literate than any generation that came before them? Yes. Are they going to use technology more than any other generation? I don't know. You know, their parents tend to still be the most optimistic and positive people when it comes to many things in life, including technology. But they also are seeing some of the negativity, as we mentioned. And so they may go in with a much more balanced approach than what you might expect for this generation.
So we really focused on a lot of key areas in this episode. And I want to take a minute to reflect, you know, as we think ahead, how can marketers use all of the things that we talked about today and infuse that into their 2024 strategies? You know, a lot of them already have set their plans, but how can they implement this back into what they're thinking for the year ahead?
I mean, I can start and just, you know, go back to where we started with the fundamentals. So fundamentals should be things that most brands are talking about every day and thinking about in their plans. And so just a reminder of the kinds of things to think about with your consumer base right now. You know, can you help them feel more secure in the world? And there are many ways to do that, as I discussed, you know, and it's some of them are simply being a stable presence in a changing world. The second is the whole idea of simplifying their lives. There are so many ways that brands across every category can really think about simplification. And then the last part again is fun and joy. You know, what is it that you can do to make someone smile, whether it's through your advertising, through your product experience, you know, being funny, being, you know, sentimental, just something to bring a little joy into people's lives. And then I, because I just talked about alpha, I will say, you know, start thinking about your multi-generation strategy. I mean, you should have a strategy. I know many brands target to a target group and a target age group. But I think, you know, thinking about how to adjust that in the next couple of years, you know, we always hear, you know, wait, I've been focusing on the millennials and now I need to think about Gen Z and quick, you know, get me up to speed. Well, I think we're giving, you know, you some ramp up time to start thinking about alpha and how to get that into your plan. So it may not be for 2024. It might be for 2025 or 2026. But, you know, start thinking about that now.
And I'd add, you know, on the sustainability, you know, kind of perspective, look, this is a narrative, you know, and a behavior and a strategy and a need that continues to evolve almost in real time. And, you know, I went through, you know, quite a bit of explaining where we were on the spectrum from, you know, front end of innovation to use to recycling. Look, every brand needs to develop their own strategy, what works best for them with their capabilities and their investments and where they want to position themselves via their competitors. The fundamental point on this is, look, this is going to be an expected, not a, you know, a luxury or an extra benefit. So I think this needs to be, you know, fundamentally baked into corporate vision and obviously all long-term strategy moving forward. Now, on the flip side of that, you know, there has been, again, more information, a little bit of backlash or pushback in a certain way. And we've been seeing some brands actually taking a bit of a step back from vocalizing how active they are. And you might have read the expression of green hushing. And really, it's not just about what you do, but how you say it. And the equation is not set in stone just yet, but understand that your practices really need to dovetail with a, you know, kind of a point of view on your vocalization and communication of it. Because with anything that we seem to communicate these days, it typically is on a spectrum of acceptance. And for those who may support you, you may feel others are distracting or feeling, you know, you're not doing enough. So be very, very mindful of sustainability and circularity in practice and in communication, because, you know, that right answer is still under development. And finally, I'll end with a last note on technology. You know, we are certainly in a space right now where there's a bit of a reconsideration. There are, as new technologies come out, you know, there are certainly expectations, but obviously certainly some concerns, particularly as it gets to, you know, software related, cloud or AI and algorithms and those kinds of ideas. So from the brand's perspective, again, clarity of communication and transparency with consumers, but being very demonstrable about what your intentions are and what the expected benefits are for consumers. And if there are some trade-offs, let them know those aware. So I think, you know, part of unlocking the fear of the future is, you know, presenting it in a way where the consumer is part of that journey, not just the recipient of those outcomes. So with that in mind, I'll turn it back to you, Anna.
I want to close out the episode to shed light on the fact that, you know, this isn't a set it and forget it. You have to constantly be looking at how are your consumer sentiment evolving over the year. So how can brands look to the consumer life team to keep a pulse on their consumers with constant change?
Yeah, right. So, you know, obviously working with your consumers in a live format, right? Being aware of what's going on with them, a constant pulse of them. But I think also working with providers such as ourselves and consultants such as ourselves, that's what we do. Our job fundamentally for our clients is to keep that consumer pulse, to understand how they're operating, not just in their mind, but how that translates into behaviors. And most importantly is we're looking at it from a cross-categorical point of view, right? So clearly consumers act in different ways in different categories, but some of those underlying and driving behaviors are coming from mindsets and personal values that are sort of unified and coded. So this is what we do and what we provide to our clients is the ability to understand and ideally foresee some of these perceptual shifts before they happen so that consumers and brands are not met unexpectedly, but most importantly, that our clients can get ahead of their clients and innovate or market ahead of any potential concerns.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining today's episode. As I mentioned, it is one of our most highly anticipated sessions, and it's no surprise why. You guys, such a dynamic duo. Thank you for joining me today. We will keep checking in with you two this year, as you know, as we see constant change, how are consumers feeling and thinking as the year pans out. So see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Thinking Ahead. For more information on today's topic, you can click the link in the description. And please make sure to leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you like about the show. And of course, if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button to keep up to date with the latest insights. We'll see you next time so that you can keep thinking ahead.